Hello, Fellowship at Grace. We will continue our journey by finishing out question number 25 today of the Heidelberg Catechism. Question and answer 25 ask, since there is only one divine being, why do you speak of three, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? Answer, because that is how God has revealed himself in his word. These three distinct persons are one true eternal God. And so last week we looked at seven statements that are to be believed by Christians regarding the Trinity, and they were this. Number one, there is only one God. And we went through, you know, Christianity is monotheistic. We have one God, not three. The second statement, the Father is God. The Son is God. The Holy Spirit is God. The Father is not the Son. The Son is not the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is not the Father. And so we spoke of the Trinity being three persons in one essence, one what and three whos. But we only looked at one Bible verse, and the answer that the Catechism gives is we believe in the Trinity because the Bible says so. And so, but yet we didn't even look at the Bible much. So today I want to finish out what the main part of the Catechism answers with, and that is with Scripture. And Scripture tells us that there is a Trinity, that God is Trinity. And so, there's some things you won't find in the Bible, though, and you won't find the word Trinity in there. And so that raises some eyebrows, and then, but also you got to ask the question, well, do you find the word Bible in the Bible? And you don't find the word Bible in the Bible either. And so, Trinity is not in Scripture, that word is not in Scripture, but after we look at these verses, going through those seven statements, I think it'll be clear, as you already believe, that the Trinity is clearly comes from Scripture, that this is not a man-made doctrine. We have not put this together. I don't think there's anybody that could even think of anything like this anyway. So we'll go through those seven statements and then use Scripture to support each, and then we'll close after that. Number one, there is only one God. So Christianity is monotheistic, like I already said. In 1 Corinthians 8:4, Paul says this, therefore concerning the eating of things sacrificed to idols, we know that there is no such thing as an idol in the world, and that there is no God but one. No God but one. And then the verse we looked at last week was the text there in Deuteronomy that, Hear, O Israel, the Lord God, the Lord is one. Isaiah 44:6, thus says the Lord, the King of Israel and his Redeemer, the Lord of hosts, I am the first and I am the last, and there is no God beside me. 1 Timothy 1:17. Now to the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. And so it's not very common that you'll see someone in Christianity that claims Christianity that believes in multiple gods. Christianity from Judeo-Christian foundation is always been one God. So one God's normally not hard for people to swallow. Number two, the second statement, the Father is God. John 6:27, Jesus speaking here, do not work for the food which perishes, but for the food which endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give to you. For on him the Father, God has set his seal. The Father, God, has set his seal. So you got the word God and the word Father in the same sentence coming from Jesus himself. Titus 1:4, to Titus, my true child in a common faith, grace and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Savior. So pretty straightforward. God the Father, Father being God. And that's another one that's not really hard to accept. Number three, the Son is God. Colossians 2:9, for in him, speaking of Jesus, all the fullness of deity dwells in bodily form. If that's the only verse we had, that would be enough, because that is so clear. For in Christ, all the fullness of deity dwells in him bodily. So you got God in bodily form is what that verse is saying. All the fullness of the deity dwells in the Son of God. John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Word was God, and that was Christ. Hebrews 1:3, and He, Jesus, is the radiance of His glory and the exact representation of His nature, and upholds all things by the word of His power. When He had made purification of sins, He sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high. So Jesus is God in human flesh. That's one that is debated, that Jesus is not God. But, you know, those three verses right there, how could you deny that Jesus Christ is God in human flesh, the second person of the Trinity? Number four, the Holy Spirit is God. Acts 5:3-4. But Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and to keep back some of the price of the land? Verse 4, while it remained unsold, did it not remain your own? And after it was sold, was it not under your control? Why is it that you have conceived this deed in your heart? You have not lied to men, but to God. So, who did that lie to? Who did he lie to in verse 3? The Holy Spirit. And who did Peter equate that to in verse 4? Well, that was God, the same person. So you lied to the Holy Spirit in verse 3, Peter's telling Ananias. And then you have not lied to me, Peter's saying. You haven't lied to men. Ultimately, you have lied to God. And that's the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is God. Hebrews 9:14. How much more will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered Himself without blemish to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? So, only God is considered to be eternal, from everlasting to everlasting. Only God is eternal. And this verse tells us who through the eternal Spirit. So the author of Hebrews says, who through the eternal Spirit offered Himself without blemish to God. So the Holy Spirit is the eternal Spirit. Point number 5, the Father is not the Son. No other place than John 3:16 solves this, that for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have eternal life. So how can you give your Son if you are the exact same in personhood? You can't. So that distinguishes the Father and the Son, that they're not the same. That they're not the same. Even they're not. God the Father can't be God the Father, and then He has to stop being that and then become God the Son, like modalism would teach. No, this is all at the same time. You can have God the Father and God the Son at the same time. And God the Father gave His only begotten Son. Same thing here with Galatians 4:4. But when the fullness of time came, God sent forth His Son, born of a woman, born under the law. So the same concept. How could they have to be distinguished? So God the Father is not God the Son, is what point number 5 says. And one more verse. 1 John 2:1. My little children, I am writing these things to you so that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. So Jesus Christ is your advocate. And so He's the one that speaks on your behalf to the Father. You go through Him to get to the Father. And none of these texts make any sense unless the Father is distinguished from the Son and the Son from the Father. Statement number 6, the Son is not the Spirit. Luke 3:22, and the Holy Spirit descended upon Him bodily, in bodily form like a dove. And a voice came out of heaven, you are my beloved Son, in you I am well pleased. So, similar to point number 5, the Holy Spirit cannot be the same as the Son because of verses like this that are so clearly distinguishing them. Jesus speaking here in John 14:16, I will ask the Father, and He will give you another helper, that He may be with you forever. So Jesus, one person, asking the Father, the second person, going to give you the helper, capital H helper, the Holy Spirit, the third person, plurality, all distinguished, all different, all in one verse. Statement number 7, the Holy Spirit is not the Father. We could use that exact verse we just used just a second ago, John 14:16. But we'll look at Matthew 3:16-17. After being baptized, Jesus came up immediately from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened, and he saw that the Spirit of God descending as a dove and lighting on him. And behold, a voice came out of heaven and said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." So you got to ask, did the dove say those words? No. God the Father said to the Son with the Spirit there, said those words. Matthew 28:18-19. And Jesus came up and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, and in the Holy Spirit." Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, all in the same verse, showing the three in distinction. This is a verse that not only shows the plurality, but also shows the unity of the Godhead. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 13:14, "The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all." I mean, that's pretty straightforward. 1 Peter 1:1-2. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who reside as aliens scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, Bithynia, who are chosen according to the foreknowledge of God God the Father, by the sanctifying work of the Spirit, to obey Jesus Christ and be sprinkled with His blood, and may grace and peace be yours in the fullest measure. The Trinity is clearly in plurality, but yet again, all in one goal and one purpose, and that makes up the triunity, Trinity. And so after looking at those seven statements and just a few scriptures to support each one, you're left clearly with the doctrine of the Trinity. And you have to understand God and how He's revealed Himself and how He's revealed Himself through Scripture, and you're left with the Trinity. And so therefore, that's what we believe. We believe what the text says. We don't believe certain parts of the text that we want to believe and not others. We take all of it. And that's how you formulate seven different statements. And the people that believe, true Christians that believe the Trinity, believe all seven statements, because all seven statements clearly come from Scripture. If you don't take all seven, well, that's how you end up with heresy. You know, if you take 6 of 7 or 1 of 7 or 3 of 7, you're going to be left with a heresy that's already been formulated hundreds of years ago. Tritheism, modalism, Arianism, just to name 3, all come short of those 7 statements in some way. And they all come short of understanding who God is fully. And so, why is understanding the Trinity important? You know, how does it affect your Christian life? What would happen to your faith if you quit believing in the Trinity and just took up one of the many heresies surrounding this doctrine? Well, one thing to think about would be John 17:3, that this is eternal life, that they know you, the only God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. And so if you want to know God, which is equal to eternal life, then knowing who He is, of course, would be very important. And so, do you want to know how He's revealed Himself? And the answer should be yes. The Trinity matters because God matters, and God is Trinity, and we must see Him as He has revealed Himself, just as the Catechism answers told us. No one is saved without knowledge of God the Father, and the Father is not known apart from the Son. And who reveals the Son? And that's the Holy Spirit. And so this, again, is a Trinitarian salvation, a Trinitarian Christian life. And the Trinity matters because God matters, and the Trinity matters because the gospel matters. And so as we bring this to a close, and as you study and meditate on the Trinity, there is really the main thing that should come from us, as should always be the main thing, and that is the proper response of awe, that the Trinity is more than we can fathom, and wonder and awe and amazement should just, that should be what flows from our understanding of God being the Trinity. And God would have it no other way. That's what He wants, is us to be like, wow, that is our God. That is Him. Three in one. And so that God would want His sheep to fall down before Him in humble worship, in the fellowship and eternal love of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.